My title is tonight, What is Our Mission? Our Mission is the title for the sermon tonight. And, you know, we have a mission. This church, the church in general, has a mission. God's plan for the church has a mission. And that mission is to preach the gospel to the world, edify the saints, and to help the needy saints. Now, that's the mission for the church in general. But I want to get a little more specific. What is our mission? This church, what is our mission? And even more specific than that, I want to talk about what is your mission and what is my mission? What is our mission as individuals of this church? So that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. What are we supposed to be doing as members of the Church of Christ at Hughes Road and Gooch Lane? Okay? So, what is that mission then? In my opinion, we can all boil it down to one thing: getting to heaven. That is our mission as individuals. Recently, in the high school class, one of the high school students asked me, what is heaven going to be like when we get there? And my first thought went back to Jesus and the conversation he had with Nicodemus, where he told Nicodemus that, you know, if we can't understand the things of this world, we're not going to be able to understand the things of heaven. And I know we're told, like in Revelation, that it's going to be like streets made of gold, things like that. And there's going to be many mansions there. But I think that's God's way of trying to explain things to us in ways that we can understand. I don't think heaven's really going to be streets of gold. It's not really going to be mansions, but it's going to be so wonderful we can't understand it. In any case, that should be our mission, is to get there. It's going to be so wonderful we need to get there. Okay? So is that all? Is that the only thing that's our mission as individuals of this church? I also think, I clicked it. There we go. I also think we need to be helping others get to heaven too, right? You know, if you're a member of Group 2, you've probably heard me say this before. You know, it's not our focus in Group 2 to send notes to visitors, even though we do that, and that's a good work. It's not our focus in Group 2 to send notes to preachers that we support. That is a good work, and we do that. But I tell them all the time that it's our goal in Group 2 to get to know each other and help each other get to heaven. You know, that's our goal in Group 2. All right? So, but can it be done alone? Can we get to heaven alone? And that's going to be the premise of my talk tonight. I got a demonstration here I want to show you. This is a group of pencils all banded together around rubber bands here. It's a tightly bound group of pencils, right? And I think this can represent the church, the individuals. As long as we stay tight-knit group, it's hard for Satan to break us, right? It's hard. But, you know, if for whatever reason, it's even hard to get one out of here. It's hard, you know, because of these other pencils holding on to it, the other members of the church holding on to it, it's hard for Satan to pull one of us away, right? But, you know, sometimes things happen. You know, we start missing services. We start not, you know, participating in the things of groups and things like that. And we start pulling away. You know, and eventually, before you know it, we're missing a lot of services and we're just out here by ourselves, right? And then when Satan tries to get a hold of us, just like that, it's easy. But when we're bound together, you can't do it. You know, it's hard to do like that. So, don't be a broken pencil is one of the points I want to make tonight. Another illustration I found that helps demonstrate this point. In the illustration that I read, it used a preacher as an example, but it doesn't have to be a preacher, and we don't need to always think the preacher is the one doing this kind of work. But it used a preacher in the example that I read, so I'm going to use preacher, but it doesn't have to be a preacher. It could be anybody. You know, a preacher noticed that there was a member of the congregation that started missing services. In fact, he missed several in a row. And the preacher decided he was going to go and have a conversation with this person. So he went to the person's house who had been missing services. And when he got there, the man was sitting by a fire, right? So he was sitting by the fire, and the preacher went in, and he just sat, after the pleasantries, you know, and the guy welcomed him there after the pleasantries. The preacher sat down, he just stared at the fire for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, awkward silence, right? He was just staring at the fire. After those 2 or 3 minutes of just staring at the fire, he got up, he walked over to the fire, there were some tongs sitting beside the fire, he picked those up, and he put them in the fire and pulled out an ember. He set that ember on the hearth right there and just let it sit there. He went back and sat back down. After a while, that ember started turning dark, the light started going out, it quit burning. So he sat there and he said, well, it's time for me to go. So he got up, he went back over to the fire, went back over to the, and picked up the tongs again, and he picked that ember back up and put it back in the fire, and almost immediately it started glowing again, it started burning, things like that. And the person who had been missing services, he said, "Thank you for the sermon, I'll see you Sunday." So the point there is, and the point with the pencils, you know, the point with the pencils and the point with that illustration is that we're stronger together. We need to be here together to help each other. We need to be here. When we're alone, when we're trying to do this all by ourselves, it's impossible. And that's my premise for tonight. Also in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. So I think that also illustrates the point. When there's people there to help you, even if you stumble, they're going to help you get back on the right track. But if you're all by yourself, you know, who's going to help you? There's nothing to do there. All right, so here's my premise then for tonight's talk, if it'll come up. A good and profitable spiritual relationship with God is impossible apart from being an active member of a local church designed like the one we read about in the Bible. So, in my opinion, if you're not an active member and getting in here and working, then it's going to be hard for us to have a good spiritual relationship with God. And I noticed that I put there that it says the local church designed like the one we read about in the Bible. What is that design? What is God's design of the church? Why did he give the church to us? Have you ever thought about that? Do you think it's for his benefit or do you think it's for our benefit? I think it's for our benefit. First off, it was eternal in purpose. If you look in Ephesians 3, 10 through 11, so then the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So even before anything was ever created, God had a purpose for the church. And let's keep on looking at that. Have you ever thought about this? Worship is more for our benefit than it is God. Does God really need our praise and obedience? I do believe God is pleased when we obey him and, you know, and we praise him. But does he need it? He doesn't need it. We're the one who need it, right? When we're singing, it's pleasing to God, but who is it helping the most? Why are we supposed to sing? To encourage one another, right? And lift one another up. That's why we're singing. If you're singing because, if the only reason you're singing is because we're commanded to by God, then you're just checking a box, right? Same thing with praying. If when we have prayers, if you're just thinking about other things and daydreaming, and you're just doing it because that's what we're commanded to, if you're praying because you're commanded to, and you're not doing it to get the proper relationship with God, then you're just checking a box. The Lord's Supper is a great example to me for this. We get way more benefit out of it than, you know, God does, for sure. In the Lord's Supper, if all you do is eat the bread and drink the juice because you're commanded to, then you're just checking the box. You know, you're just checking the box. But if you do it the right way, you know, and you take the Lord's Supper and you remember and you think about the things that Jesus did for us, and you remember that he had to do those things because we sinned. It's our fault he had to do those things, right? So if we think about that thing, we do that week after week after week, and we're thinking about those things when we take the Lord's Supper, then eventually, when we're tempted to sin during the week, we're going to think about it then too. So we're tempted to sin, and we think about the Lord's Supper and think about the price that's paid for that sin. We might still go ahead and do it then, but later on, after we keep doing this week after week, then, you know, it's going to be harder and harder to commit that sin. And then eventually, you're just going to be able to resist it. It's not even going to be hard to resist that sin anymore. So who's benefiting the most out of taking the Lord's Supper? Is God getting the benefit of it? Are we doing it because we're commanded to? Is that the only reason we're doing it? Because if we're doing it because we're commanded to, then we're just checking the box. Giving's the same way. You know, who benefits from giving? Does God, you know, we say a lot of times we're giving money back to the Lord. Is he the one benefiting from it? Or is it us? Are we benefiting from it? Are we using that money to give to preachers who are preaching overseas somewhere and we Christians are benefiting from it? Or is it God? Is God benefiting from it? You know, I guarantee he's pleased because of that, but I think we're the ones getting the benefit from it. And if we don't think about those things when we're giving, then we're just checking the box. Preaching's the same way. You know, if whenever our preachers are up here preaching and we're just daydreaming or something like that, we're just doing it, we're just coming here because we're commanded to, then we're checking the box. You know, we need to be listening and getting the things out of them that they intended to. I can promise you that I have a lot of appreciation for our preachers now, because I've been knowing about doing this for about 2 months now, and that's all I've thought about, and they do it every week, so I have a lot of appreciation for them. All right. So another thing in the design of God's church is each of us has an individual responsibility to the others. That's one of the main points I wanted to make tonight. It's our responsibility to the other person, other people here. Okay? Let's look at Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Mr. Whitty also brought up verses 10, 25 this morning. I was like, uh-oh. But, you know, I'm going to use it in a little bit different way. So let's look at that. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, I want to look at verse 24 there for a minute. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What does that not say? That verse is not telling us right there to love each other and do good deeds. Even though those things are both scriptural, that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that we need to stimulate others to do these kind of things. It's not just us doing them. We need to help other people do these things too. Right? All right. So, you've heard of an economic stimulus plan. I've come up with a plan for our spiritual stimulus plan. Let's look at that a minute. Prayer. Let's look in 1 John 5:14 through 15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which he have made ask from him. Now, I'm sure you're thinking, we pray for people all the time, right? But have you ever specifically prayed for somebody to love somebody else? Have you ever specifically prayed for somebody to do a good deed for somebody else? Maybe you can think of somebody, some specific person that you think needs to be doing something. Pray for that person to do a good deed for somebody else, right? Okay. So, example. I found this poem. I couldn't find who the author was, because of where I read it from, it actually didn't list the author either. But it says, we are living a gospel, a chapter each day, by deed that we do, by word that we say. Men read what we live, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? So whatever we're doing, people are seeing that. You know, they're seeing if we're living the things that we're talking about here. They want to see us, you know, as an example. If we can be an example to others, that's going to stimulate them to do good works and good deeds, right? If they see us doing this, sometimes it will encourage them to do the same. So we can be a good example to other people. Along those lines in Galatians 6:10, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So how encouraging is it to you when somebody brings you a meal, you know, when you're sick or something? That's very encouraging. It makes you want to do the same for other people, right? So we need to stir one another up in love and good deeds. We need to be a good example for each other. All right, another way of putting that in Titus 3:8, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So we need to concentrate on doing good works to be good examples for other people. And in doing those things, we can stimulate them on to do good works, okay? All right, so encouragement. We need to be an encouragement to each other. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So every day you wake up, if that day is called today, you need to be thinking about ways to try to encourage one another. Do you ever leave here on Sunday and not think about any of the rest of us until Wednesday or until the next Sunday? You know, we need to be thinking about each other every day, thinking of ways that we can encourage one another. So how can we do that? Kind words. You know, we could tell Joe tonight, good job leading singing, Joe. Way to go. We can definitely express our appreciation to our Bible class teachers and for all the hard work they do. We can tell them, good job, you know, and I appreciate what you're doing for my kids. So those kind of things are kind words, you know, and those are encouraging when you hear those kind of things, right? If you hear those kind of things, it encourages you. So we need to encourage other people with kind words. How else can we do it? We can ask for their help. Say you're going to prepare a meal for somebody. Ask somebody else to help you prepare that meal. I'm going to go help somebody move. Can you come help me? You know, I'm going to do whatever for somebody. Will you help me do that? You know, we can ask for people, ask people to help us do good deeds. That's going to stimulate them to do good deeds, right? And they love each other. All right, we can spend time together. That's one of the big ways. You have to spend time with people to get to know people. And when you get to know people, you can do things like encourage people, or you can even, you know, rebuke people if you know them well enough. I would have to know somebody pretty good to go up and rebuke somebody. So we can spend time with them. Look in Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So what does that mean? We need to be having people in our homes, right? And being hospitable to people. That's an encouragement, and that's spending time together. You know, and once you start spending time together, you're going to get to know people better. And that's what we try to do, at least in group two, we're trying to do that. All right, so when else can we spend time together? Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 again, looking in verse 25 now. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So if we're, you know, obviously you can understand that if we're here and you're not here, then you're not going to be able to do those things we're talking about in verse 24. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. You know, if we're here, you need to be here so you can do those kind of things. And, you know, a lot of people, I take a little bit different view on this verse than a lot of people. A lot of people think, okay, it's okay as long as I'm with another group of Christians. It's okay if I go to Jordan Park and miss the assembling here. It's okay if I go to Kelly Springs Road and miss the assembly here. But I think, you know, in order for us to stimulate one another to good love and good deeds, we need to be here with each other whenever we gather. You know, we need to be here. And I think that's what it's talking about. It's talking about our assembly. It's not talking about, you know, the assembly in general. It's talking about this assembly right here. That's my opinion anyway. All right. So here's some questions to ask yourself. Do you make anyone better? Are you expecting someone else to make you better? Do you try to make anyone better? Are you trying to encourage people? Are you trying to stimulate them to do good works? Trying to stimulate them to love each other? Do you make anyone better? Do you ever feel like you're just not a part of the group? You know, in looking in Hebrews 10, 24 there, it tells us to stimulate one another. So if you don't feel like you're a part of the group, stimulate somebody else. You know, get in here and just push yourself right in the middle of this group right here. You know? So if you ever feel like you're not part of the group, get a part of the group. That's all I got to say about that is you just get a part of the group. Who are you friends with? Are your friends people in this room right here? Because the people in this room right here are the ones who are going to help you get to heaven. Right? Or are you friends with people of the world? Are those people going to help you get to heaven? You know, I pray all the time for my kids to have friends who will help them get to heaven. And friends of Abby and Luke, I'm talking to you right now. I pray for you to be the kind of examples to my kids so that you can help them get to heaven. Because one day I'm not going to be here, and hopefully this will be y'all. This will be all the young people here. You're going to be friends with each other, and you're going to help each other get to heaven. All right. What have I done to help someone get to heaven? Do you do anything? Do you think with the sole purpose, I'm going to do this to try to help this person get to heaven? You know, we need to try to think of things. Okay, I'm going to help you get to heaven. Now, what can I do to help Chris get to heaven? Right? All right. Do I go to church or am I a part of the Church of Christ at Hughes Road in Gooch Lane? Because I can almost guarantee if you go to church, you're just checking the box. You know, but if you're a part of this church, you're going to try to help each other. We're going to try to help each other. We're going to try to spur one another on to love and good works. All right, I found this. I always wondered why somebody didn't do something about that. Then I realized I was somebody. Have you ever said that first part? I wonder why those elders, you know, don't do something about those preachers over in South America or something. You know, why don't you? I always wondered why they don't put me in group two. You know, I don't blame you on that one because we got it pretty good in group two. You know, but if you want to be like group two, you know, do something about it. Make your group like group two, okay? All right, finally, don't be a broken pencil. You know, if you feel like you're drifting away from the group, just jam yourself right back in there and get a part of the group. Don't just check the box. You know, if you're just checking the box, I can almost guarantee you're going to probably be a broken pencil. You know, don't check the box. Your friends need to be the ones who will help you get to heaven. Remember that. And finally, help me get to heaven. I know I need help. I know I can't do it alone. I need your help to get to heaven. And hopefully I can do something to help you. You know, I need your help. All right, just like with anything else, though, to become a part of this group, there's always a first step. And the first thing you got to do is you got to hear. I know a lot of you in here have already heard, and you believe, you know, the Word of God. And you know what you need to do, right? You've heard it, and you know it, you believe it. You believe it. You know what you need to do. You just haven't done it yet. So I'm talking to you, if that's you. You got to repent. You got to realize that I am a sinner. No matter how much good I do, nothing can make up for the sin that I commit. And that you need, it's only by the grace of God that we can be saved. And you need the sacrifice that Jesus made. You have to confess. You know, if you believe all those things and you know what you need to do and you know you're going to do it and you just haven't done it yet, confess. You have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And you got to believe that He is the one who sacrificed himself for our sins. And then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. I'm going to leave you with this. It's been about 24 years ago, somebody asked me to a Bible study. And during that Bible study, they asked me the question, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? And my answer to that was no. And if you ask yourself that right now, and your answer to that is no, I'm going to ask you the question that was asking me after that. Don't you want to? Don't you want to go to heaven? So if you answered no to that, don't you want to go to heaven? If you do want to go to heaven, then you need to do something about it, right? So we invite you to come and do something about it as we stand and sing.